Now here in the 20th verse, he goes on, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now this 20th verse here states a fact which is true of every believer. Now, we are not to seek to be crucified with Christ. So many of these young people today, they talk about they want to live the crucified life. And he's not talking about that at all here. We are not to seek to be crucified with Christ. We have already been crucified with him. And now the principle of living, it's not by the law which had slain because it found us guilty, but we're now to live by faith. Faith what? Faith in the Son of God. You see, friends, the death of Christ upon the cross, it was not only penal, that is, he not only died a penal death, that is, paying the penalty for our sins, but he died a substitutionary death as well. He was not only the sacrifice for sin, but he was the substitute for all who believe. Paul declares, therefore, here, that under the law, he was tried, found guilty, and he was condemned, and in the person of his substitute, he was slain. Now, when did that take place? It took place 1900 years ago. I am crucified with Christ. When? When Christ died. But nevertheless, I live. How do I live? In Christ. He's alive today at God's right hand. And we're told that we've been put in Christ today. Now, you can't improve on that. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Now, that ought to get rid of this foolish notion today that we can crucify ourselves. When I was a pastor in downtown Los Angeles, I had a young man that came to me after a service. And he said to me, Dr. McGee, are you living the crucified life? I think I rather startled the boy. I said, no, I'm not. Are you? And he hesitated for a moment and stuttered and stammered around and finally said, well, I tried to. Oh, I said, that's not the question you asked me. You asked me if I'm living the crucified life. And I answered you. I said, no. Now you tell me yes or no. Are you living the crucified life? Well, he said, I'm trying to. Well, I said, that's, of course, not it. You're either living it or you're not living it. But I said to him, you can't live the crucified life. Oh, he says, why can't I live it? Well, I said, that verse doesn't say that. I said, you know, there's something quite interesting about crucifixion. You can kill yourself. You can commit suicide in many different ways. You can hang yourself. You can shoot yourself, you can take poison, you can jump off of a high building, you can jump in front of a truck. There are many different ways you can kill yourself, but you can't kill yourself by crucifying yourself. You see, when you nail one hand to the cross, who in the world's going to nail that other hand to the cross? You're not going to be able to make it that way, brother. And when you talk about I'm crucified with Christ, you have to understand what Paul is talking about. Paul says, 1900 years ago, I was crucified with Christ. When he died a substitutionary death. He died for you. He died for me. Now, we're also told in the 6th of Romans, we have been buried with him by baptism, by identification. We have been raised with him in newness of life, and now we're joined to the living Christ. Paul says we don't know him anymore after the flesh. He's not the man of Galilee, walking around the Sea of Galilee. I walked around that sea, and I didn't see him. He's not there today. Why? He's at God's right hand. He's the glorified Christ today. So that Paul is saying here, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. You see, the law executed us. The law could not give us life. Who gave us life? I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. How do you live? Oh, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. My friend, that's the thing that's important. He died for me down here that I might live in him up yonder, and that he might live in me down here. And the life, Paul says, which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. What kind of life is this? It's a life of faith. Saved by faith, live by faith, walk by faith. And that's what it means to walk in the Spirit today. And we're going to see that in this epistle, too. Not only are you saved by faith, you're to live by faith. Now he says, by the faith of the Son of God, and this is lovely. He says, the Son of God who loved me, and he gave himself for me. He loved me, but he just couldn't love me into heaven. He had to give himself for me. And the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. And you can only receive a gift by faith, any gift for that matter. You've got to believe the giver who holds the gift out to you means business and is telling the truth when he holds it out and says it's yours. And you have to reach out in faith to take it. You don't know. He may, you know, take it back in a hurry. He may be an Indian giver. But you have to have confidence. Now, God offers you the gift of eternal life in Christ Jesus. Now, this verse is one of the reasons that I believe that Paul was present at the crucifixion of Christ. That man was a Pharisee. Pharisees were the one led in the crucifixion. He was a leader in the persecution of the church. And he was also one who hated the Lord Jesus Christ. He was in Jerusalem at that time in the school of Gamaliel, a young man, and I can't believe he'd stay home the day they crucified Jesus. I think it was there, and it says of these Pharisees, they shot out the lip at him. They ridiculed him. They told him to come down from the cross. And they did all of that, and they sat down and watched him die. And you can't be any lower than that. And I think that Paul was there that day. Now, after he came to know the glorified Christ, the one that died down here, the one who rose again and is at God's right hand, Paul could go back and look back, and he could say, while I was there ridiculing him, while I was there shooting out the lip at him, he loved me, and I hated him then. But he loved me, and he gave himself for me. And that's the supreme sacrifice, by the way. And Paul called himself the chief of sinners. Now, when he said that, that was not academic. That was not hyperbole. It was not an oratorical gesture. When he said that, that is an actual fact. He's the chief of sinners. Why? Because you can't go any lower than to sit down and watch him die on the cross, my friend. And you can trot underfoot the blood of the precious blood of Christ today by ignoring him and turning against him and away from him, as Paul did. And Paul could call himself the chief of sinners. And it was that crowd the Lord Jesus said, forgive them. They know not what they do. And this man, Saul of Tarsus, became Paul the apostle. And he said, he loved me, and he gave himself for me. And he said, when I was hating him, he was loving me. And he was giving himself for me that I might have life. Now Paul goes on to say, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by law, then Christ is dead in vain. Now the whole thought, I think, is just simply this, that if there'd been any other way to save sinners, then God would have used that method. He would have adopted that method. If a law could have been given, or a religion could have been given to save sinners, God would have done that. This was the only way that an infinite God could save you and me. And he was willing to make the supreme sacrifice. Now, this brings us through this chapter.